for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, October 23rd, 2002, 7th Annual Ministers Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Jerry McGee of Abiding Life Ministries, Lindale, Texas, is the teacher of the morning.
For ministering angels, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever kind of holy angel we need. Lord, we just say that You are worthy of our praises. Father, we pray that I be a tree of life today, Father. Father, You said the tongue of the wise brings healing. Give me a wise tongue today. Give us all wise tongues, Lord, not only today, but every day. We praise You, Lord. We ask You to come, Lord. We welcome Your presence. Father, You said that if we keep Your word, that truly it is that we love You. And You said we'll be loved by the Father, and You will love us and manifest Yourself to us and disclose Yourself to us. Lord, we ask You to manifest Yourself and disclose Yourself to us in the name of Jesus. And we just bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places from this place, from our lives, from the things that concern us. And we forbid You to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. We nullify, make void, cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse and assignment that's been spoken against us in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus' name. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Well, the subject I've been given is resetting life's negative reaping patterns. And in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, it says, I'm going to send Elijah, and He'll restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I've discovered that many times in deliverance, most of the time, in fact, that deliverance comes when our heart is restored to our earthly mother and father through repentance and through forgiveness. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 5:16, please. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may be well with you on the land which the Lord your God has given you. This simple and fundamental Bible truth is key to all of our problems and all of our relationships. It can be found in this one verse. Life will go well for us in every area that we can honor our mother and father, and life will not go well for us in every area that we did not or could not honor our mother and father. You know, we could stop right there and just have you stand up and say, where is life not going well? And you could trace it back to an area where you did not honor your mother and father. Every failure in life can be traced back to the breaking of this one commandment. And I've discovered many times, well, most of the time when I have a problem, I was talking to Doc earlier, and he was saying he always asks God to show him, what are You trying to show me through this problem? And I've learned to do that. When I have a problem, I say, Lord, what are You trying to teach me through this problem? And either I dishonored my mother and father with something that I judged in them or something I've done. You know, the law of sowing and reaping says that if you plant a grain of corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn and hundreds of kernels of corn. You get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, and later than you plant. And so how many of you know we're spiritual gardens? There's stuff growing in our garden that's good, and there's stuff growing in our spiritual garden that's bad. And so when we dishonor mother and father, life does not go well for us. And many times God shows me that it was an area where I dishonored my mother and father. You know, when I first got saved, I was always giving my dad testimonies, and he wasn't too interested in my testimonies. He's 88 years old. Now that I say, Lord, Dad, I've lived these years, and I've discovered You were right, and I was wrong. His ears just, he listens very attentively. Because, you know, when we honor our father and mother, they see there's been a true change, because most of us grew up not being disciplined. And when I say disciplined, I don't mean necessarily the rod. That's one part of discipline. But discipline is kind of like horse training, only children are horses. It's to protect the child, love the child, nurture the child, take care of the child, hugs, kisses, help them with their homework, spend time with them, forgive them, provide for them, protect them. Just hundreds of positive sides of discipline, but only one negative side, the rod, when they don't listen. And most of us grow up in homes where we don't experience that kind of discipline. And when we're trained up, God says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And the way you're trained up, you can be trained up in the way you shouldn't go, and when you're old, you won't depart from it. And it takes God breaking those negative reaping patterns. When how you grow up sets a default, like on a computer. How many of you know about a default on a computer? Well, I'll try to explain it. I'm no computer expert. But if you, for example, a computer is designed and built to have certain things set in it, and one of the things they set in it is a certain writing style, and they call that the font. If you're writing a letter, you can change the letter style, because there's probably 30, 40 different styles you can choose from. But if you choose to change the letter style to be different than what the computer was set for, you can type a letter with the new writing style, but when you turn the computer off and you come back into another program to do a different letter, it will put the computer will go back to the original letter style it was set for. And the way you grow up sets a default in your life that causes you to reap whatever's been planted. And what happens to you is the child sets this default, and now in your present circumstances, you're reaping these things, and the way you change that is to go back and find out where you judged mom and dad. Some of you say, well, you know, I couldn't honor my mom and dad, and that's probably from the world's view true. We've been hurt by our parents. To honor doesn't mean that we have to like them. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them. If they're evil people, it doesn't mean we have to fellowship with them. But it means, to honor means, as far as it is up to you, you forgive them for their poor stewardship of you. To honor means to forgive. It means to honor their position. It means that no longer will you hold them accountable for their poor stewardship. The root to our anger, the anger that we have in our life, goes back to unresolved conflicts with mom and dad. Anytime you and I go to sleep at night, you know, God says you have till sundown to get it right, right? The scripture says in Ephesians 4, do not let the sun go down on your anger, because you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Is that correct? Everybody's familiar with that scripture. Matthew 13 gives you the answer. The reason we have till sundown to get it over with is because the enemy throws tares when men are sleeping. And those tares become cuckleburrs in our spiritual garden. And I used to think it just had to do with anger. But recently the Lord showed me, anytime I go to bed worried or hurt or feeling rejected or not cared for or not loved, anytime I go to bed frustrated, you know, I never saw myself as an angry person. But I've gotten frustrated many times. Irritated, frustrated, impatient. All of those are subtle forms of anger. Maybe a milder form of anger compared to rage would be an extreme form of anger. Frustration is a form of anger. And so if I go to bed with all these negative emotions and I don't go to God and say, Lord, I forgive my mom and dad for whatever, it becomes a bitter root down in my heart, and I will reap that right into the grave until I go back, look for that root, and take accountability. When I, as a child, because I'm not trained up in the way I should go, in my frustration, instead of saying, Lord, I forgive mom and dad, I don't know to do that because I've not been trained up to do that. And so what I do is I turn to a vow or a promise I make myself that when I grow up, life is going to be different. And that promise or that vow, our inner vow I make myself, it works like a train track. I may have a good engine that wants to go this way, but I have to go the way of the vow until I break it. When you make a vow, you're bound to that vow. And it sets you up for failure. But because I don't know to go to God in my pain, I turn to this promise I make myself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. And that promise becomes a false god that I trust in. And these are the issues of my heart. As Chris was sharing last night, these are the issues of my heart. These are the areas where I react. And as he shared last night, it stems from the root of idolatry because I turn to this promise that when I grow up, I'm going to find someone who loves me. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone who will never leave me. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that will love me, cherish me. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that won't reject me. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone that will not ignore me. And it's an unconscious promise we make ourselves. But would you agree if you don't turn to God in your pain, you turn to something else, which becomes a false god? I heard someone ask yesterday after Chris taught, what is an idol? An idol is anything that we love more than God.
Amen.
Anything.
Or in the place of.
You know, we don't see, think, well, you know, I'm not like the children. I don't bow down to Buddhas, and I don't bow down to this, and I don't bow down. You know what we bow down to? You've got to love me. You've got to meet my needs. You've got to notice me. You've got to see how wonderful I am. You've got to listen to me. You've got to give me all your attention. You can't ignore me. You have got to be there to meet my needs. And you see, idols are expectations that we put on other people. They're also false gods. They're people, anything, or person that we turn to. Anything. Romans 6 says, whatever you let control you becomes your master. Is that right? So that is what idols are. Loving something else. You know, if I love to react more than I love God, it takes, as Chris said last night, the crucifixion of the flesh. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross daily and follow me. But I've discovered that I react in the areas where I judge my mom and dad because that becomes an issue in my heart. And because I let the sun go down on my anger, can I tell you that it is the root of your anger? Some of you have a problem with anger. You're trying to get over your anger. Can I tell you, wherever there's an idol, there's an angry. You get angry if you don't get it. Can I tell you, if you have an idol, you fear not getting it. And if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. And you know, can I tell you, that's the root of depression. I get depressed because everything don't work out the way I think it ought to. I went to a meeting some years ago, and it was all these clinical psychologists. It was the biggest bunch of junk I've ever heard. I mean, it closed the blinds, make the room dark, don't talk to them. Garbage. Find their idol, lay it down, and you won't be depressed anymore. And mind-altering drugs, you know, I'm sure y'all are familiar with Henry Wright, and this is true. Number one killer of people in the United States is heart problems. Number two killer is cancer. And number three is prescription drugs. They keep you off in la-la land. They make you a drunkard. And the Bible warns you over and over and over and over to be sober and alert, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, means gulp down, drink down, and swallow up. How many of you know you can be swallowed up by the devil? That sounds so bizarre. But the enemy, you can be swallowed up in God's life through being under his refuge, in his shadow, in his shade. Or out here, you're a target for the enemy out here. Anger damages your health. And there's a high price to pay for anger. Anger is at the root of anger and rage, aneurysms, heart attacks, strokes, arteriosclerosis, kidney problems, high blood pressure. Anger can change the chemistry of your blood. Did you know that? I have a friend, and I'm not making fun of her, but she says, I went to the doctor and he said, my blood's dirty. Anger is at the root of it. There's so many physical problems that have at the root of them anger. And wherever we make a promise to ourselves as children that life's going to be different, we have a fear that's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Anger is idolatry. Go to Deuteronomy 32, please. Anger is idolatry. And Lord, I bind every spirit that will not confess Jesus. And I'm not doing this because you said that, brother. I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus is Lord in this place. In the name, power, blood. And I declare that no demon is going to twist the word of God. In Jesus' name, because it is His word, it is spirit and life, and God watches over it to perform it. Praise the Lord. Okay, Deuteronomy 32. And I just wanted to tie anger in with this because some of you, your whole life, you live in anger and hurt and pain and grief and sadness. And can I tell you, it has at its roots dishonoring mom and dad. And again, to honor does not mean that you have to agree with them, like them, or even fellowship with them if they're evil. It means to forgive them and no longer hold them accountable for their poor stewardship of you. And forgiveness is a choice. You choose to do it. Okay, Deuteronomy 32. Now, this is speaking of God's people in Deuteronomy 32:15. But Jezreel, which means the people of God, it means the upright one, grew fat. It means to become calloused so they couldn't hear God. It means to produce from the flesh. Verse 16. They made him, God, jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they've not known, new gods that who came lately. Verse 20. Then he, God, said, I will hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, so I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. So I want you to see the fruit of this idolatry. The first fruit of it is God says, I'm going to make them jealous because they've made me jealous. You see, the root of jealousy is idolatry. Do you see that? It says, and Lord, I ask for understanding. I pray for a spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. I ask you to pour that out on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. The second thing, he says, I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So anger is the second fruit of idolatry. And I used to say, Lord, forgive me for my anger. I'd get upset with my husband. I'd say, Lord, forgive me for my anger. Forgive me for my anger. I wouldn't even tell him I was angry, but in my heart I knew I was. And I'd say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And it just come back. And then when I discovered that if I lay down the idol, the expectation, you see, the promise was he can't treat me like mom and dad does. You know that 99.9% of the problems you have in a marriage come out of promises that you'll never marry anyone like mom, you'll never marry anyone like dad. And I can tell you the biggest issues in a marriage goes back to dishonoring mom and dad. My husband's been dead 4 years in February, and I look back on that and I see the things that irritated me about him. I was living with my mother for 27 years. And I can tell you that's the same thing with you. Next time you have a problem with your mate, I want you to go to God and say, Lord, would you show me what you're trying to show me? Did my mother do this? Did my daddy do it? Or have I done it? You know, you either become like who you judge, Romans 2:1, or you will reap what you judge. The law of sowing and reaping says, you know, the law of gravity says, if I drop this, it comes down. God's laws are irreversible and immutable.
Amen.
Unchangeable.
Amen.
His word is truth, and he watches over his word to perform it. And every place you obey this, you're blessed. And every place you disobey, you're cursed.
Right.
Praise God. So anger is idolatry. And so if you want to get rid of your idolatry, then you've got, get rid of your anger and your jealousy, lay down your idolatry. And then the traffic up here stops. Verse 23, then you see he heaps misfortunes on them because of their idolatry. In verse 24, they'll be wasted by famine and consumed by plague because of idolatry. And then you see terror in verse, T-E-R-R-O-R, in verse 25. And then you see in 28 that they lose their understanding. Can I tell you, you do a word study on understanding, and you'll see when a person has no understanding, it's at the root of it is idolatry. Give me understanding that I may live, God's word says. Forsake your folly, which is the opposite of understanding, and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Hosea 4 says, harlotry, wine, and new wine, take away the understanding. The last part of Hosea 4, it says, the people without understanding are ruined. Understanding is the truth that sets us free, and our idols blind our eyes. And this blindness comes in as children when we let the sun go down on our anger and don't forgive mom and dad. I used to think it was just, obvious anger. But listen, worry. All of these things that bother me as a little child go back to mom and dad's stewardship of me, whether it really happened or whether I perceived it that way. And God will restore your life and restore your relationships as you deal with these things. I used to go see my dad. You know, you always have the hardest time with a kid most like you. I'm just like my dad. I've been told that my whole life. Well, he's on to me. I don't get by with nothing with my dad. And I used to go see him, and I'm telling you, I'd come home, I'd cry all the way home because he would just chew me up and spit me out. And I see now it's because of a lot of the arrogance that was in my life. You know, the humble get grace. Have you ever wondered why nobody gives you grace? It's because God knows you're not humble, whether anyone else knows or not. God doesn't let anybody favor you when you're full of pride. But as over the years, I go home and I'm doing self-deliverance, forgiving my dad. Because you see, whatever happens to you in the present, God has given you a picture of what happened to you in the past that you didn't do right the first time. Now, bring it to the throne of grace. I don't remember my dad ever telling me, asking me to forgive him, maybe a few times in my life, but I would always go and tell him I'm sorry. And God has healed my relationship with my dad because over the years, I've continued to humble myself, and not that I'm humble, but I've got a long way to go. My daughter-in-law said she wished God would work on something besides humble. God, you know, it's like an iceberg. You think you got it sawed off at the water's edge, like he was talking about the ice thing last night and the was it seals underneath, whales underneath. You saw it off and some more floats up. It's endless. You know, pride is the very character and nature of Satan, and God's got to get that out of us. God is humble. We're supposed to become like our teacher. What's been teaching us? God, I want to be humble. Okay, go to Proverbs 14. I just want to talk a little bit about anger, and then I want to get back to resetting the negative reaping patterns. But just to look at some scriptures of anger, go to Proverbs 14, please. It says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding. And we just read that when you have idols, you lose your understanding. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Folly is the opposite of understanding. A tranquil heart is life to the body. Tranquil means peaceful, a relaxed mind, peaceful, verse 14:30. It means to be relaxed. It's from a word meaning to cure, repair, heal, sew together, and mend. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Now, the word passion, it's not talking about sexual passion. It means anger, jealousy, and rivalry. It means envy. Rottens the bones. Now, it could mean sexual passion if you're angry because you're not getting enough sex. It could fit. It has to do with anger. Rotten is rottenness to the bones. And that word rottenness means to decay as if by worms eating. That could be one of the roots to parasites. I'm not saying it is, but it could be. Rottens the bones. Okay, what's made in the bone marrow? Blood, right? You see how that can affect your blood? And that's a major root to osteoporosis, bone cancer, and any other bone disorder or blood disorder. Okay, Proverbs 25:23 says, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions because he's got lots of idols. The cooler your temper is, the fewer idols you have. If you're a person that just gets your button pushed constantly and you're prayed, rained on, you're a hot tempered. And Galatians 5:19 says, well, let's turn there. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. I thought that was okay. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the word is not, that doesn't mean occasionally getting angry. It's not a one-time thing. It's a habitual practice of anger. If somebody were to describe you, would they say, are you a cool-tempered person? Are you an angry person? And if you're an angry person, you need to check out your salvation. So the Bible says a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. And again, the word is practice. And I'm not saying every time you get angry, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm saying if you are a person that practices anger, at the root of it is idolatry. And God says no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, God holds us accountable for our idolatry. Okay, Proverbs 14:29. Well, we already read that one. Psalms 37:8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Please go there. I wanted to tie anger in with this message because many of you are agonizing before the Lord because of your anger, and you don't want it. Well, you've got to lay down your idol before the anger will leave. When you lay down your expectation and your idol and repent of turning to that idol to protect your heart instead of turning to God, then God will take it away. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. It says, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. The other night I was talking to a friend in Nevada who has lung cancer. And her whole bosom, she was in such pain in this area of her body. And she was beginning to doubt, I don't know if God's going to heal me. And I was beginning to doubt it too. And I didn't have any answer for her. I just drew a blank. And the minute I got off the telephone with her, I was working on an email message, and the title of it was, There's an idol lurking behind your anger. And the very next scripture I read was, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of a fool. And I called her back, and I said, this is it. You've got anger residing in your bosom. She said, the minute I said that, her pain got four times worse. And she said, but I've forgiven everybody. And I said, I don't know. Just get before the Lord and ask Him where the anger is. She said, for the next 4 hours, God began to bring just way memories begin to come back where people she'd said she'd forgiven, but she was holding on to the anger. And she said she woke up the next morning and her body was pain-free. And what the Lord showed me through this is anytime I hold anger in any area of my life, if I keep holding on to it, that sore will turn into cancer if I don't let it go. It's not worth it. Go to Proverbs 11, please. Verse 10. Now, if you go to the doctor with pain, he's going to give you all this pain medicine, and then the side effects becomes a new disease, and then they'll treat the new disease, and the next thing you know, you're on 10 medications, all bonkers, and God doesn't heal side effects. You got to remove the drug to get rid of the side effects. You know, I know this is one reason that my dad at 88, he's on very little medication, and I can tell you, he's got a sound mind. You know, it's very unusual for a man to start reading the Bible when he's 86 years old, but my dad is in the Word every night. And he said, my mom died 3 years ago. He said, you know, I'm not lonely when I'm in the Word. I never saw my dad read the Word, but I thank God. He said the other day, he said, I want wisdom. I hope I'm a wise. I said, Dad, you are. Most people would be out doing other things, but you're preparing yourself for eternity. I said, you are wise. Verse 10, it says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain from your body. Now, that's God's answer to pain. If you've got pain in your body, the root of it is vexation. Vexation, you know what it means? Grief and anger. Find the grief and the anger and find the root of it. I can tell you it came in childhood. When you let the sun go down on your anger, that became a pain in your heart. You know, you can have physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain. Did you know that? Emotional pain is when you feel it all over your body. That's what I said, didn't I?
No.
I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes 11:10. So remove vexation from your heart and put pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. This is not to condemn anybody with pain, but to show you the world has no answers for your pain. But God does. God says, remove anger and grief from your heart, and you can put pain out of your body. Okay, Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great anger shall bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. You know, the penalty for anger is demonization. A good example was Saul in Psalms, in 1 Samuel 1:18. The ladies in the city were singing a song. David has killed his thousands, and Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000. And he was jealous. He got angry. He raved. He threw a spear. He tried to set him up. I won't kill him. I'll let the Philistines kill him. He set him up, and he began to fear David more and dread David, all because he let the sun go down on his anger. And then he ended up getting wounded and killing himself in 1 Samuel chapter 30. You see the progression of demonization when you let the sun go down on your anger. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're to reverence our parents with the same kind of healthy fear you would reverence God with. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall reverence, fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Now, there's a demonic fear that causes me to run from God because I was afraid, and that stems from being afraid of mom and dad. If you were afraid of your mother and dad, you're afraid, you know, God, I want to go to you, but I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. That's a demonic fear of God. The true fear of God causes me to turn from my sin and run to God, run to his throne of grace. The fear of the Lord, to reverence God and be in awe of him. And there are sins in the Bible worthy of death. One sin that's worthy of death is dishonoring mother and father. Go to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew 15, verse 4. It says, for God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. So if you've been given a death sentence, that would be something to examine. You know, anytime somebody tells you you have cancer or something like that, you've been given a death sentence. And so you need to find the answer to why you're under a death sentence. A curse without a cause cannot light. Proverbs 26:2. Please know this is not to condemn anybody that has cancer, heart trouble, not to condemn medical. I'm not condemning anything. I'm just saying, as Henry Wright says, there's a more excellent way. Find the root of it. The best the world can do is help you manage your problem, but God has an answer to your problem. And that's the more excellent way. He can heal you. There's nothing that's incurable with him. Okay, the next sin worthy of death is Exodus 21:15. It says, and he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. You see how we as parents should never let their little kids hit them? Puts them under a curse. Okay, and then cursing your parents, 21:17 says, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Three Bible reasons for being under a curse of death. Failing to use our resources to help our mother and father revokes the word of God. And this was a new revelation to me. Matthew 15:5 says, but you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father and mother, and thus you invalidate, which means revoke, the Word of God for the sake of your tradition. And I don't know what the implications of all of that, but maybe in the areas where we're struggling, the areas where we're reacting, the areas where we're in pain, the Word of God is revoked in that particular area because of us saying anything of mine that you might be helped by is given to God. And he is not to honor his mother and father. And I'm not saying God's word's revoked, okay? I'm saying in the particular incidents where you say that, there's a possibility your life is tremendously hindered in that particular area. Maybe I need to say it that way. Okay, besides the word of God being hindered in your life and your life being shortened, Proverbs 19:26, please turn there. I know when you have idols, you're blocked in the Word of God, because God says, lay that idol down if you want my life to, if you want my Word activated in your life and you want my grace and your mercy, lay down your idols. Proverbs 19:26. It says, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and a disgraceful son. You'll be considered the companion of the destroyer, Proverbs 28:24. He who robs his father and his mother and says it's not a transgression is the companion of the destroyer. And your lamp will go out in time of darkness. Go to Proverbs 20, a big root to eye problems. Your Bible says the lamp of your body is the eye. Is that right? And I'm looking for answers to my eye problems, and I can tell you it's from speaking against my mom and dad. And you know, when I make a judgment on my parents, these are the logs in my eyes. The other day I was sharing this with my dad, and he said to me, so some of you are thinking, well, I've always honored my parents. My dad said, and the reason I'm saying that is this reason. The other day I was sharing this with my dad, and he said to me, Jerry, I never know a time when you didn't honor your mother and I. But you see, I didn't, because in my heart I always thought I was smarter than they were. I always thought when I grow up, I'm going to do a better job than they did. They don't really know what they're talking. I never said that to them. But in my heart, God has shown me thousands of judgments I've made on my mom and dad. And just recently, just speaking at seminars and just sharing things about mom and dad as illustrations, God's shown me, you know, I've ruined my poor little mother's reputation. And she doesn't deserve it. I had a good mother. And so I've repented. But just sharing from my own pain, I've dishonored my mother and father. And lots of other reasons. Okay, Proverbs 20:20. So I'm telling you that to tell you, even if you think you've honored your parents, there's areas where you haven't. 20:20. He who curses his mother and father means to treat with curse, to treat with contempt, value very little, despise his mother and father. His lamp will go out in time of darkness. And that word means to make a fuel lamp. From a word meaning to make a field shine. This is the field. Jesus said he was the light of the world, right? And then he told the disciples, he said, you're the light of the world. He said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Then he says, a lamp is not made to be put under a peck measure, but it's made to put on a lampstand for all to see. You see, when I curse mother and father, it hinders God's glory from coming through my life. This is my field. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says you're building your house in your field. And when I judge mom and dad, I harden my heart in that area, and a hardened heart is the peck measure over that keeps my field from shining. And so God tells me to break up the fallow ground so the light can come through. And so when I harden my heart, every time I go to God, my heart gets softer. When I go to God in repentance, get under His shadow, and in repentance, my heart gets softer, and any time I don't go to God, I harden my heart. Today, when you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Our heart is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And you know where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and you shall have the desires of your heart? You know what that word means? It means to be soft, tender, and delicate. So when I come under God's authority, And I line up with His Word, my heart becomes soft and delicate in that area. And nobody gets to the place of perfection. You won't be perfect till you get to heaven. but it's a walk of possessing your land. And you can be as totally submitted to God as you know how to be, and He'll let you rest a few days, and then He'll show you some other place you're sticking out over here. You know, He says, I must decrease that He might increase. I used to want to be like Peter. I wanted my shadow to heal like Peter. And then I thought, you know, I don't know if I'm really ready to go through all you have to go through for your shadow to heal. I've had enough pain. And what the Lord showed me is that it wasn't Peter's shadow that healed. It was God overshadowing Peter. And the more I decrease through repentance, the more He increases and His shadow gets bigger to extend out to touch lives. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, go to Proverbs 30. It says, the eye that mocks a father, it means in the Hebrew, in my eyes, according to my judgment, in my opinion, that mocks, derides, makes fun of, laughs at, ridicules with contempt a father, and scorns, despises, condemns, treats with contempt, values very little. A mother, 30:17. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. And that means from a root to bore, and it means it's a type and shadow. The powers of darkness have the legal right to bring spiritual blindness to my eyes. So in the areas where I get angry, the areas where I've let the sun go down on my anger, I'm blind in those areas. So God gives me a picture in my present circumstances by the turkeys I live with or the turkeys I'm around to show me what He's trying to show me that happened to me when I was a child. That's why the people are raining on your parade or pushing your button. God wants you to. God's trying to show you have a log in your eye. And like what Mike says, He says, you know you have a log in your eye when their speck is bothering you. Right? Can I say you know you have a log when you don't want to talk to them about their speck because you feel guilty? Or you feel like you'll get in the flesh if you talk to them about their speck? And so in marriages, if your husband or wife is getting on your last nerve, you need to go back and examine how did you respond to mom and dad? Go back and examine how did you respond to mom and dad? Is your mate doing the same thing mom and dad did to you? I can tell you 99.9% of the time that's true. You promise you'll never marry anyone like daddy or mom, guess what? You'll either be like them or you'll marry someone like them. Because the law of sowing and reaping will continue. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If the eye is clear, which means unadulterated, no idols, the whole body is full of light. Could that be one of the roots to macular degeneration of the eyes? Could that be one of the roots to cataracts when the eyes are shut, the light shut out? I'm asking God this because I've come out of generations of people with cataracts, blindness, macular degeneration of the eye when the light is shut out. It means an eye free of idols is what it means. Free of logs. But if your eye is bad, which means toilsome, you're toiling after your idols or you're in unrest, means to be adulterated. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. See, it has to do with idolatry. Okay? Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart for what? They shall see God. In the areas we judged our parents or our authority figures who raised us, our relationship with God and authority will be crippled in those areas. If there are areas of defilement in our hearts, our perception of God will be blurred and our relationship with Him. You see, when I make God has a lake of blessing He wants to pour out on me, but my judgments of mom and dad have put log jams between me and God's blessings. Every judgment I make on mom and dad will cause me to get less of God's blessings because in those areas I've judged mom and dad and I have logs in my eyes in the areas that I've judged mom and dad. For example, say I judge mom and dad for leaving me or abandoning me. I make a promise when I'm a child, I'm going to find somebody that loves me and who'll never leave me. and then it sets up a reaping, that judgment. Many people who were abandoned at birth find themselves getting abandoned, abandoned, dump, 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 abandoned. And you know it's a reaping if there's a pattern of abandonment. And so I make a promise, I'm going to find somebody. That promise becomes a false god I trust in. And then your speck is bothering me because I think you've left me again. And God's trying to get me back to the logs, to get the log out of my eye. Look in chapter 7. It says, "Do not judge lest you be judged, for if you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of my eye, and behold the log in your own eye?' You hypocrite, first take the log that's in your own eye out your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Say I grow up and I'm not loved, and I let the sun go down on that, and I promise myself one of these days I'm going to find somebody that loves me. And most of these vows that promises we make ourselves are unconscious. We don't even know we do it. And then we get married, and all of a sudden we're accusing our mate of not loving us. We think we marry the perfect person that just adores us, and then the minute we get married, we're saying, "You don't love me, you trick me." I heard Chuck Smith say the other day, he said he just got a wedding invitation. Chuck Smith out in California, Costa Mesa, California. I heard him say, he just got a wedding invitation. Or maybe it was Chuck Swindoll that said it. And he said, "I have found the love of my life." He said, but that's their sixth marriage. You see, if you don't deal with your stuff, you carry it right into the next relationship. A friend of mine has coined this phrase, "Wherever you go, you got to take yourself." Irma Bombeck says, "The grass is greener over the septic tank." Don't think you're going to get a better, because you see, it's a mom and dad issue. And you see, if I want to get the speck out of your eye, if it bothers me because you're not loving me, you got a speck that's really getting on my last nerve. You see, it goes back from the log of the judgment I made of mom and dad. So God says, if I want to get your speck out, I've got to deal with my log. And I've discovered that when I get rid of my log, your speck falls out, and I don't give a rip if you have a speck or not, usually. But if when I deal with it God's way, and then I go to, then if you need me to correct you in love, I can just go up and say, "Chris, you got a speck." And I don't feel, you see, if I've got a log, I just can't go talk to you about it. Because God's trying to get me to first get the log out of my eye before I can get the speck out of your eye. So God has a lake of blessing, but we just get a trickle because of these judgments. And a lot of times when we want deliverance, you first have to deal with mom and dad issues. For example, if your mom and dad didn't talk to you, do you know the major reason for prayerlessness? Mom and dad don't talk to me, so God don't want to talk to me. That's the main reason. I can tell you, everybody out here with a problem with prayerlessness, that's the reason. You judge mom and dad because they didn't want to communicate, or they never had any answers. You know the reason I don't go to God? If mom and dad never had any answers for me, then why should I go to him? Because he's not going to give me an answer. You see, parents model for me a picture of what God's like. And however you judge mom and dad, you're judging God and all authority the same way. When we make a judgment on our parents, we set in motion forces that cause us to reap in kind what we've sown. And the judgments we make and let the sun go down on become bitter roots down in our heart. And the enemy sows tares when we're sleeping, and those tares in our spiritual garden are the things that tear us up right now. It's the thing that causes us to react right now in those areas. Bitter root judgments are not necessarily what's done to us, but they are our own sin because we didn't deal with it God's way, and we didn't know to because parents didn't train us up in the way we should go. Our sinful reactions to hurt, our condemning judgments of our parents and people, our refusal or inability to forgive, they're operations of the unchangeable laws of God that cause us to reap in kind what we've sown, and they have the power to defile many, Hebrews 12 says. See to it no root of bitterness takes you over, and by it you defile many. Because, see, these judgments become cuckoo birds in my heart, and what's in my heart, what? Comes out my mouth, and what's in my heart comes up here into my thought life. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, for out of the mouth proceeds evil words. By my words I'm justified, and by my words I'm condemned. Because my words reveal my heart. Is that right? And the Bible says what's in my heart will be reflected in my face, in my countenance. And when I make a judgment, if I judge mom and dad for not loving me, and not nurturing me, not protecting me, and I find this knight in shining armor, I think I've met the world's most wonderful person. When you're going together, the demons push you this way. The minute you get married, the demons push you this way. Because authority sets in. And all of a sudden, you're saying, you tricked me, you don't love me, you've left me again, you rejected me. Blah, blah, blah. And these are the things we fight about in our relationships, in the church, in our marriages. This is what we fight about. Now, you know, I'm not married at this. I'm not married, and I'm not looking to get married. So don't. I'm not married, and I say that, you know, I need to break that vow. I am very contented. My husband is my maker. That's what I should say. And God says to honor marriage, and I do. But when you, I lost my train of thought. Lord, tell me, bring it back. Anyway, when I make a judgment on mom and dad, I'm due to reach that judgment until I take it to the cross. There's got to be a cross. And with the judgment, I make these judgments, and if I judge my mom and dad for that, I may meet the person I think is the most perfect person. But unconsciously, I expect nobody to love me, nobody to nurture me, and I expect to be left. And so with the judgment comes an expectation that life's going to go that way, and an expectation, a bitterroot expectation, is a psychological practice in my nature, and I don't believe in psychology, okay? It's a psychological practice in my nature that causes me to push that person to do that bad thing that fulfills my picture of the way life will go. And I push that person to do that thing. Because, see, I may think with my head, life's going to be different. I've met the perfect one. But unconsciously, I expect my life to be just like it was when I grew up. Can I tell you what I'm experiencing here is a rerun of how I grew up. And it's my walking around the mountain experience that I have to crucify. And God uses my problem to show me what He wants to deal with next. So if you learn to live your life by saying, okay, God, I have got this problem. What is it you're trying to show me? And if you go to Him willing to receive His correction, you'll gain understanding. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. It says, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. 15:32 says, he who neglects discipline despises himself. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. So when I go to God and I say, God, I'm willing to receive your discipline. You know, reproof means argument. God, I'm willing to receive your argument. I come to you and I'm willing to receive your discipline, your correction, and your reproof. Then I gain understanding. Understanding is the truth that sets me free. The Bible says, ask for wisdom, but cry out for understanding. You know, there's a difference between prayer and crying out. Recently, I was at a Bill Gothard seminar, and I heard something that absolutely has changed my life. He said, there's things in your life that will never change until you cry out to God. Cry out means, God, help! It's a way of humbling myself. You know, I have had a prayer life most of my life, but I've not been a person to cry out. I took my granddaughters and my grandson, and I said, if you hear grandmother screaming next door, don't get upset. I've got a backlog of things to cry out about. And I've seen God do more since I've been crying out to Him. It's a way of humbling yourself. You know, for example, he uses the illustration, if a mother's doing dishes and her baby fusses, she doesn't come running. But if the baby screams out or cries out, the mother drops everything she's doing and runs to her baby. And it's a way of humbling ourselves. And you see the difference in the Word of God between prayer and crying out. crying out is a desperate cry. God, it's time something changes. I've tried everything I know, and nothing's happened. I've tried to break this addiction, God, and I can't break it myself. And God wants it broke more than you want it, and He wants you to cry out. If you could cry out to your mom and dad and they never heard you, did you know that will block you from crying out? A bitter root judgment is the root to a fainting spirit. God, I want to go to you, but I don't think you love me because parents model for me a picture of what God's like. God, I want to go to you, but I don't think you love me. God, I want to go to you, but I don't think that you care. God, I want to go to you, but I'm afraid you'll hurt me. You see, if I make these judgments on my parents for being dysfunctional and not taking care of me, I receive a lie that God's the same way. God isn't like your mom and dad. He's perfect. He's perfect love. He cares for you. He answers your problem. He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you His word. He wants to give you His answers. He wants to heal you. You know the root to why some of you have a problem thinking God's going to hear you, but you'll hear your brothers and sisters. That comes in through growing up, mom and dad showing partiality. You're the kid that asked for things. They never did it for you, but they'd do it for brothers and sisters. And that's why you see in the church people going to people they think have more power. That's the root of it. And so you faint. God has a throne of grace He wants us to go to. And at the throne of grace, we get confirmed, established, perfected at that throne of grace. There we get understanding, but the reason we don't go to Him, we think He's like Daddy and Mommy, and He's not. If you had a good mom and dad, praise God. You know, I had a wonderful mom and dad. They failed, but my dad is a communicator. He's going to communicate to you whether you want to hear it or not. You may not want to hear it, but he'll communicate. Still protects me at 88. I'm telling you, he gave me a good role model. I mean, my parents were good role models of God. They weren't perfect people, but I've never felt unloved a day in my life. Can I tell you, if your mom and dad love you, you think everybody loves you whether they do or not. But if your mom and dad didn't love you, no matter who tells you they love you, you never believe it. But God wants to reveal His love to you. God is love. God is peace. God protects you. His shadow and shade protects you. The Word says in Job 28, that the enemy does not know the way of wisdom. Job 28. Did you know when you're under God's shadow, the devil and his demons don't know your path? Because you're hidden. But when you're out here in rebellion, you're a target. If a man's ways please the Lord, makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I know the Lord is pleased with me when my enemy does not shall triumph over me. Proverbs 17, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. That's what the Word says, because I'm out here. But he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I take refuge. You will deliver me from the snare of the trapper and the noisome pestilence. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. But I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because I love the Lord, He will honor me and show me His salvation. Amen? Amen? And God is not like your earthly parents. That's why God tells parents, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Parents provoke us to anger. Okay, most of you being in deliverance know that in Matthew 5:21, Matthew chapter 5, that when you don't forgive, you go into a spiritual prison. I mean, when you're angry, you go into a spiritual prison. How many know that? Matthew 5. If you don't know that, read Matthew chapter 5. You know that you don't go to jail every time you get angry, unless you kill somebody or break the laws of the land. But in God's economy, every time you're angry and you let the sun go down on it, you go into a spiritual prison and you won't come out of there till you forgive. Matthew chapter 5. And he gives you till sundown to get it over. You know, to be angry and sin not, what does that mean? Does that mean somebody say, well, Jerry, you're angry? No. Are you sure you're not angry? You've got a funny look. No, I'm not angry. That doesn't mean that. It means to say, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I have a right to be angry. You've done wrong. I am angry. I'm very angry. But you know what? I love God so much that I won't let the sun go down on it. Yes, I will forgive you. And it says in James that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, because anger breaks God's law of love. He talked about love last night. Anger violates God's law of love. And so God, in God's economy, if I'm angry with you, I go into a spiritual prison, and it says I get turned over to the judge. In James it says there's one lawgiver and one judge, and that's God, and the judge to the officer, and that's the demons, and you go into a spiritual prison, Matthew 5. Matthew 18 says you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. An inquisitor is a person, is a jailer that stretches someone out on a rack and tortures them till he gets what he wants. And so, you get turned over to the inquisitor. Demons that inflict pain, the pain of disease, when you don't forgive. Okay, how do I reset these negative reaping patterns? First of all, you're a spiritual garden, and I want you to ask God to let you see the crop that you've been producing in that spiritual garden. There's things in that garden that he wants to pull up. It goes back, you trace the fruit to the root, back to mom and dad. The dishonoring of mom and dad. If you will, stand up and let's ask the Lord to first of all, where is my life not going well? What makes me angry? If you're married, the answer to that could come real quick. Thank God for happy marriages. Amen. My mom and dad were married 61 years. And my dad's still faithful to my mother. Faithful man. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. I cry out for understanding, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What makes me angry? Where is my life not going well? Just forgive, and where it's not going well, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what happened to you in childhood. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. I expose to you my conscience. Pray with me. I ask you to search me out by your Holy Spirit. Come into every memory you won't heal, Lord, with the light of your presence. And I ask for the truth that sets me free. And I forgive my mom and dad that I never asked them a question they gave me a legitimate answer to. I forgive them. They never saw my... Now, this is just in the cases where your parents didn't, okay? If your parents never solved your problems, never told you anything good, never answered your questions, you got to forgive them for that so God can speak to you, because it's put a block between you and God and kept you. It's kept you from being delivered because of dishonoring mom and dad. Just repent of everything you see. Forgive your mom and dad. Let me tell you, the people that are bothering you in the present goes back to mom and dad bothering you, hurting you, failing you. Doing business with God, then you sit down when you're through. Not till you're through. Let God show you something, and then sit down when you're through. And repent. Tell God you're sorry. Lord, I forgive my mom and dad for doing the same things to me that the people in the present are doing. I break the judgments I made. And forgive me, Lord, that as a little child, I didn't know to go to your throne of grace, because I received a lie that you're just like mom and dad. You're not like my mom and dad. God, forgive me for going to bed angry, frustrated, worried, fearful, hungry, feeling neglected, unwanted, rejected, feeling unloved. God, forgive me for not going to you, the lover of the universe, the perfect God, the perfect Father. Lord, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. It became a bitter root in my heart. Now, Lord, I ask you to pull out that bitter root judgment. I break the expectation that life will go that way. I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between me and that judgment. And I ask you to cancel that reaping in the name of Jesus. Now I just break the power of every bitter root in Jesus' name. I command every demon power to leave that came in through dishonoring mom and dad. All wounds, hatred, bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, fear, depression, hurt, vexation, grief, pain, I put it out of my body. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Lord, forgive me for letting anger reside in my bosom. Forgive me for passion that's rotten my bones, decayed my bones. God, forgive me for idolatry. God, forgive me for letting this become an issue in my heart. God, I forgive my parents for hurting me. I forgive them for not taking care of me, not helping me, making me solve my own problems. Do you see, if you had to solve your own problems, how now you don't go to God, and because you don't go to God, you faint. He has a throne of grace. I either go to Him or I come short of the grace of God and faint. So, Lord, I've had a fainting spirit in these areas. I come to Your throne of grace now, Lord. And I want to do it right this time. And I ask You, God, to forgive me. Forgive me for judging my parents. God, I've become just like who I've judged. Okay, stand up and let's ask God to show you the vows you've made. What promise did you make yourself? Whatever makes you angry is what you promised wasn't going to happen. Lord, in Jesus' name, what are the vows that I made? Unconsciously or conscious? Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. And when you see the vow, then break it. The vow became the false god you were trusting in all your life. You're trusting that vow to protect your heart instead of trusting God to protect your heart. Break the vows and then sit down after you see the vow. Pray. You know, when Abraham, God told Abraham to go kill his only son. God had told Abraham he's going to be the father of many nations through Isaac. So Abraham prepares to go up the mountain and he tells his servants, he said, my son and I will return. We're going up to worship and we'll return. And so just as Abraham started to kill Isaac, God said, no, wait. Now I know you fear me. And so Abraham knew that even if he killed Isaac, that he and his son would return. And so the way I deal with anger, and you may have a better way, I say, Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for them to keep on doing me that way, then so be it. But Satan, you can't touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. Now that's also with fear. If you have a fear, see, fear, the root of fear is the same thing. Lord, if you hear what the devil's telling me, God, if it'll glorify you the most for that to happen, let it happen. But Satan, you can't touch me. Now, if you don't have fear or you don't have anger, God says you have not because you ask not. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. This is only when there's like anger or fear. And you can just feel hurt coming, and then if you just die to it, he was talking about reacting and responding. Lord, if it glorify you the most for them to keep treating me this way, so be it. If it'll glorify you the most for them to never change, if it'll glorify you the most, God, the prayer we prayed last night, don't change anybody till you change me first. Basically, I'm saying the same thing. God, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for people to keep on leaving me, abandoning me, hating me, rejecting me, not listening to me, ignoring me, so be it. But Satan, you can't touch me. Now, if you're not living for the glory of God, that's not good news. But if you're living for the glory of God, that is good news, because God will answer the prayer. This is the confidence you can have toward Him. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have it. And it's His will that He's glorified. It works with hurt. It's the way of disarming the enemy. Can I tell you, it's the perfect love that casts out fear. I'm saying, God, I trust you so much with my life. You know what I need, when I need it, if I need it, when to get it. You know when to give it. You know who I need. You know if I need these people, I don't need these people. You know, God, And God, I live for your glory and I live for your honor. So in the name of Jesus, I tell you, I'm going to let y'all stand up and y'all do this. You take it up the mountain just like Abraham did Isaac and put a knife to it. Say, Lord, if I need it, give it back. If I don't need it for your glory, don't ever let me have it. Lord, in Jesus' name, show me what makes me angry and what makes me afraid. And Lord, I want to, and the idol, see the idol behind it, fear of rejection, the idol's rejection. If I get angry because I'm rejected, the idol is rejection. If I fear failure or I get angry when I fail, the idol is failure. I can't fail. If I get angry when you don't love me or I fear you don't love me, the idol is you got to love me. So whatever you fear, whatever depresses you, whatever makes you angry is the idol that you got to take up the mountain and kill. Lord, in Jesus' name, what makes me angry, fearful, and depressed? And do like Abraham did Isaac. Make an altar to God. And then when you're through, then sit down and we'll do some more deliverance. Lord, I've been angry and bitter. Pray with me. I've been angry and bitter, fearful, dishonored my mom and dad. I've mocked my father and scorned my mother. Lord, forgive me for striking my parents if I did, striking them with words. Forgive me for speaking evil of my mother and father, which would cause me to be put to death. Forgive me for cursing my mother and father, which would cause me to be put to death. Forgive me for saying forgive me for saying anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God, and we're not to honor our father and mother. God, forgive me for invalidating, revoking the word of God in these areas where I've sinned. God, forgive me for assaulting my mother and father. Forgive me for stealing and robbing from my mother and father, which would cause me to be the companion of the destroyer. God, forgive me for cursing my mother and father, which has caused my lamp to go out. Forgive me for having bad eyes instead of clear eyes. God, I want to take these logs out of my eyes. Forgive me for not having a pure heart. The purer my heart is, the more able I am to see you, God, and your true character. God, forgive me for judging my mother and father. That's caused my standard of measure to be measured back to me. Lord, I don't like the crop, and I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to help me from this day forward, that when a problem comes up, to trace it back to its root of not honoring mother and father. Forgive me for being a hypocrite. God, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. I've been in a spiritual prison. And God, I forgive my mom and dad. Forgive me for my wrong reactions to hurt. Forgive me, Lord, for setting up through my judgments a reaping pattern that's caused me to reap what I sow. Help me to remember in my relationship the reaping and how to stop the reaping. It's through asking you to change me before the person that is getting on my nerves is changed. God, I didn't know as a little child I could go to your throne of grace. I come to you now to deal with it your way. I break the judgment I made on my parents. I break these vows I made in the name of Jesus. And I take all my negative emotions, my anger, my bitterness, my idols up the mountain In the name of Jesus. And Lord, forgive me for not, let me just say this before I pray. The major root to ear problems is not listening to mom and dad. If you shut your ears in the spirit to mom and dad, it tells me you shut your ears to God. Lord, forgive me for not listening to mom and dad's word that's kept me from listening to your word. I had a girl, the first seminar taught, she came up to me. I'm going to keep praying, but I want to share this because you'll get more freedom. Had a girl come up to me and she said, you know, she said, I have a problem listening to the word. And I said, well, did you ever have a problem listening to your daddy? She said, I couldn't stand his voice. She said, every time he'd say a word in my heart, I'd go, ugh! And so I just led her in repentance. 3 months later, she was in my kitchen, and she said, you know what? I didn't know I had a hearing problem, but she said, when you prayed for me and I repented of not listening to my daddy, he healed my ears, and I didn't even know I had a hearing problem. So, Lord, forgive me for not listening to my daddy and my mother. I forgive them. They never said anything worth listening to. And I thank you if they did have many things to listen to. Forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me for making vows I won't listen. Forgive me for shutting off my ears. You know, God says in Zechariah that if he speaks to you and you turn your ears away from listening to him, he won't hear you. He says, if you honor me, I'll honor you, but if you don't honor me, I'll lightly esteem you. That's what he says in the word. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for turning my back on my parents, shutting my ears to them, refusing to listen. And, God, I break those judgments. Forgive me for detesting their voice. Forgive me for despising their voice. Forgive me for judging them for being stupid. Forgive me for thinking they're not worth listening to. Forgive me for thinking I'm smarter than them and I know better. It's rebellion. And, Lord, I've come out of generations of people that have not honored their mother and father and not brought their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And God, I take accountability. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away all the rebellion, the deafness, all the bitter judgments, all the dishonoring of mother and father, all the lack of discipline, Father, all the effects of my judgment. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of refusing to listen and of deafness in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to make my ears attentive to your word. God, I want to incline my ear to your word. That means stretch your ear to hear. God, I want to stretch my ears to hear you, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. And Lord, I take all of my idols up the mountain. And if it'll glorify you the most, for everybody in my life to never change, long as I'm changed, if it would glorify you the most for me to never have what I think I need, and me to keep getting this bad treatment I've been getting, then so be it. Satan, you're bound. How dare you touch anyone in the hands of the Master? And now, Lord, I come under your shadow. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. Amen? Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.